I'm interviewing Mr. Kerry Smith. Today's date is March 26, 1985. My name is Becky Bailey, and also present at the interview is his grandson, John Smith. Okay. Mr. Smith, what's the name of your church?
Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay, where is it located here in town?
Just up, you know, up here on the side of the road, out that close from the, from the mill. I can't tell you exactly. It's right up here on the hill here.
Okay, it's the one by the Temple Junior School?
Temple Junior, up here.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about how it got started.
Well, it got started. Well, I'm starting off now.
Okay.
Reverend W.T. Perry. From Corrigan.
Mm-hmm.
He came up here and didn't have no church here. That's way back in 1903. And didn't have no church there at all, no Baptist church. And so he got me some of the old brother Henry Carter, and a few more. Of course, and he went down to the management here and asked for a spot to build the church. Mm-hmm. And so he told him to come back across the track here west of Dymore. And pick him a place, and he did, and come back and tell them to let him build. And so he did that, and so he, Campbell handed him, he gave it to him, they cleaned off and built the church, a little box church, a small church. We didn't have no mill, I think mill one was the only mill they had here. It had a little old planter up there where they got the load the trucks at,
mm-hmm.
is on this end, a little bit of plane. I don't think they have about two machines. And so they got lumber, long, it take them around 3 years to finish that church. Because, you know, lumber in those days was, you could get them along about, you get them out of 1,000 feet for $25.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
did the company donate the lumber, or did y'all buy it?
They bought it. They have revivals, you know, Brush Arbor Revival, McGrady, money, $25, $30. Wasn't very many people there. Dibble was very young then. It wasn't very many colored then, a few whites. And so they worked and built a church. They got a little church built. And we didn't have no place, well, no electric light, nothing. We had to have the little lamps with handles on them. I guess you've seen those. And they'd hang them on the side of the wall of the church, and then when it had a shade behind it, throw reflection out on the people. And we used those lights, I guess around about 1910, maybe longer. And they organized the church, Reverend Perry organized the church. His name is Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. 10 years later, they wanted to go into association. And they went together, brethren got together, and the preachers. And they organized a plan for the association. They went to Groton and had the papers fixed and put on record. And so after then, Reverend Perry left. He went out and trying to boost up his association.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes, this association, was that over the whole United States, or was it just small?
It was just small. It was just in his youth.
Okay.
It just started out. Shiloh District Association.
Oh, okay.
And he went out and went to preaching around different places and got people showing the association. It would get a little larger and larger and larger every year. And so Reverend J. Bradford from Houston, we called him as our pastor. He was in charge of it. In 1910, they called him. And he passed it here to 1916, he left and went back to Houston. So Reverend Lampkin and Reverend I. Fleming from Barron down here, they passed a short while. And Reverend Bradford came back after about 1920 something. He came back and stayed here until 1930 and he passed. And Reverend T.A. Allen, from Rosenberg, Texas, he taken over.
Okay, this was Allen?
Allen.
Okay.
T.A. Allen.
Oh, T.A. Allen. Okay.
Uh-huh. And he take no one. He stayed here quite a while. And Reverend Cole, he was our moderator, R.S. Cole.
Now, wait a minute. What's a moderator?
R.S. Cole. As our moderator, he elected him moderator. He was going to school at Conroe when they, and he worked up in his plant.
Was he like a preacher?
Yeah, he preached.
Okay, I didn't know what the difference between a moderator and a preacher.
Yeah, he was a preacher and a moderator.
Oh, okay. So and it's kind of the same thing.
Same thing, yeah. Just he's just over the whole district.
I see.
Sure see.
Okay.
And so he stayed there a long time. After he passed.
No, he stayed here till he died?
Till he died, yeah. He stayed there a long time. And P.E.O. Neal, she was a church clerk. And Sister Cora Henderson, she was over the mission department. She's president of the mission. And there, and after 1910, they wanted to get this in the association. So they went to Groveton, had the papers fixed, and went to Groveton. And had the papers fixed out and had it on record. And so they, after then, Perry left. And Reverend Bradford taken. I told you that while ago. And he carried on. He preached in about 1916, I believe. I joined the church in 1915. I was baptized in 1915. And so he, something came up, and he left and went back to Houston, stayed a while, and he came back along about 1926. And he, passed until 1930, and he pays.
Okay.
And Reverend T.A. Allen taking it from Rosenberg, Texas. He kept it quite a while. And after he pays, Reverend R.S., the moderator, they'll call him. Yeah, they call him. He passed a short while.
Okay.
And he resigned in the favor of Reverend S.H. Mitchell, the young fella. All right. And after that, after Reverend Cole left, he left, stayed here a while. And after then, Reverend Broxson from Natchitoches, Louisiana, he taken over.
You know about what year that was?
Ma'am.
Do you know about what year that was?
That was long about 19, I think that in the 40s, if I'm mistaken. Mm-hmm, something like that. And so after he passed too, and Reverend
Oliver. You guys are hard on preachers.
After he left, Reverend Oliver took the Shreveport, Louisiana. He passed. Yes, he did. And quite a while after then, he took them. And Reverend, after he passed, Reverend, Reverend Oden. G. Oden, he kept it a little while. And after he passed, after he quit, Reverend N.C. Simmons taking it. He kept it 21 years. Then that's the last pastor until this pastor, the present pastor we got now, Reverend Ross. That end of the pastors. And we are.
Oh, you never pastored that church?
Me? No, I pastored out here in Nigden 12 years, and I pastored Cedar Grove about a year or two, something like that. I passed about 12 years of my time. I'd wait till I got too young before I started trying to pastor. I worked a lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so.
Well, I know you've been a preacher, but I just didn't know what.
Yeah, I preached, and I'm the best by the retard now. My eyes have got bad. They've called me now, want me to come and preach for them, but I can't get around now. I can't see good enough to get around. I'm just about to give it up. Of course, I preach a little around here to help the preachers out. But other than that, I don't get out on the road no more.
How do y'all call your pastors?
Well, we have a meeting. And sometimes they have the vote acclamation and ballot. We have ballot, some white and black ballot. Them before them, they'll put the black ballot in one part and the white in the other. Them, I mean again, put them in the black ballot in one part and the white in the other. And then we vote by standing vote. Well, we just vote so many. They have the majority rules, you see. If we got 50 members, 20 30 of them in favor and the 20 others is not you know, against it. And so that majority rules, you know. And there. That's where we elect our pastor, in the Baptist church. You met it, didn't you?
Yeah, you remember. Yeah. My Methodist, but
I know I deal with the Methodist. I think this, Mrs. I don't know your name,
but
I think if the church would cooperate together, we could have a ban on the outside world, and the people would see that we're trying to do the thing that God pleases. Then they'd try to come to the church. But if we're going to set up in them isolated spots and never visit nobody in the church but on my own, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right. I believe in this. Of course, I'm not sanctified. But I believe in the church of people going around from house to house, telling folks, and let them know that there is a God that rules above. And I think that's a mighty fine thing for us to do as Christians. We are no more pilgrims and travelers. If we've been transformed by the preaching of the gospel, we are no more foreigners. We are all fellow citizens with the saints. That's all there is to it. And I believe in that. I believe in people cooperating, the church cooperating together. Regardless of nomination, that's not going to carry to heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's all there is to it. If your heart's not right, you know you don't care what church belongs to, you're going to tempt the hemp hill. That's all there is to it. And so I just believe in that.
Well, do y'all have a committee that will go out and look at other preachers?
Well,
well,
they're, if they see the church is vacant, they'll write the chairman of the deacon board a letter and give him an appointment to come. He come on preaching. If we lack him, if the majority lack him, they'll eventually call him. Yeah, that's what they do in the Baptist church.
Right. Are y'all associated with a bigger organization of?
Oh yeah, we got a bigger organization. We got a Baptist, I think, association. Not know what is it. Anyhow, it's we got a big body of people.
Well, I know when I grew up, I was a Southern Baptist, so there was the Southern Baptist.
Well, the Southern Baptist, that's mostly white.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we're missionary. We missionary Baptist
people. So that's another big organization.
That's right. That's right. And missionary Baptist. That's what we are. We black people are, and the white most. I was down in Methodist Hospital some time ago, and Southern Baptist preacher came in there and he talked to him, sat and talked to him, gave him some cards and all like that. He said, "What are you, Baptist?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What are you?" That's the same question. He said, "I'm a Southern Baptist." I said, "Well, I'm a missionary Baptist." He said, "Well, that's a little different, but we're all the same."
That's right.
Yeah. So I just
conduct your business a little.
That's right. Okay. Now I go to the Methodist Church. I visit the Methodist Church. I like the Methodist Church. I go to this church down here, and in the church, they invite me to come. I'll go and then try to preach for them if they'll let me, if they ask me. But I'm not going to break into nobody's church unless I had somebody ask me to come. And I think that's a good way to live.
Do you remember any of these Brush Arbor meetings?
Who?
The Brush Arbor meetings you were talking about.
Yeah, we had them
over.
Girl, excuse me for calling you girl.
That's okay.
We'd build a big scaffold, you know, and get a quart of wood and cut a lot of brush and put over that scaffold to keep the sun off, you know. And we had those bottle lamps, snuff bottles, you know, old snuff bottles people dip snuff in. We had a little round wick come out about like your finger, and it fit down over that neck. We filled it with coal oil, we set it down on the table all around. We didn't close around until the preacher got the bugs eat him up. We set them around all over the arbor. And them old guys get on there and they preach up a breeze. I'm serious. And that's when we built this church. Uh-huh. When we first built this church, we had a long 2x12 board. We had to walk up in the church. That's when we got up in the church.
Didn't have steps?
No, didn't have no steps. Couldn't get no lumber to build no steps. Mm-hmm. And we had the old great big old wooden windows. We had to keep them shut at night, you know, when the preacher.
Oh, there were shutters, though.
Oh, yeah, shutters. Yeah, I had wooden, girl, lady. Didn't have no glass, no.
Oh, goodness.
In this church up here.
Mm-hmm.
And the church kept moving on, building 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they built a church. I think there'd be about three churches since yeah. And so.
Mm-hmm. How old's this last one now that's up here?
This last one, church, let's see, I think it's about maybe 12, 14 years old, something like 10, 12 years old, something like that. Reverend Simon put that, N.C. Simon put that siding on there after he came here. But we've been doing pretty good. We got a large membership now. We have over right around 200 members now. Have a nice little preacher, he's from Nacogdoches, Reverend Ross. He's a fine little preacher. He forces home in Louisiana. But he's a very fine little preacher.
Well, how many, whenever you joined the church in 1915, how many people were members then?
Well, it wasn't too very many. We had our old deacon, Woodson Johnson, and Will Kennedy, and Percy Walter. Then about three of the oldest deacons that came in here right after 1910, and about the oldest deacon we had in that church. And on, back on, back further back up the elected more officer. The Baptist church ought to have seven deacons. Okay. Seven deacons, that's what they're supposed to have. Mm-hmm.
And what's the deacon's responsibility?
Well, let's see, to the simple part of the church and the world part of the church. If anything going wrong, they'll have pastoral counsel, you know. Have pastoral counsel on Saturday night, and they'd work it out there. If then they tell the pastor about it, and what's going on, what's need to be done, what's not to be, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and on and so forth. And after they get that line up, you see, then they'd bring it to, come as a resolution, a recommendation to the church, and the church would vote on it, up or down. That's the way they do that. So that's the way we do in the Baptist church. We baptize. I don't see nothing wrong in if a fellow. I only thing I see this. I see this in Baptists. The Baptists is people that they're following the. I'm not fighting no church now. I'm saying they follow the act of Christ. You know when Christ and John came. To the Baptist, said, walk 72 miles, come to the Jordan, be baptized by John. John says, suffered. Jesus said, John said, I'm not worthy. Just stoop down and unloose your shoe. But Christ said, suffer to be so, John. Thus has become I and you to fulfill all righteousness. And when he did that, he was taken down to water and baptized him. And after he come out, the Spirit of God comes and help him and lit on his shoulder the dove and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so I don't fight no church. And so the Methodist people, they lost them baptized. They're baptized.
Yeah, they give you your choice.
Sure they do, yeah. And I haven't got a thing against the Methodist people. I ain't got a thing Church of God, sanctified, nothing. But the sanctified people, they don't cooperate in nobody's church.
Yeah. Do you have a baptistry that's built into your church? Do you have a baptistry built into your church?
Bathroom.
A baptistry. Where are you baptized?
Oh, yeah. We have a pool. We have a pool up there in the other church. Been had for the last, I guess, 25 years. So.
Okay.
We have a pool up there.
Where did they baptize before?
In them poor pond. That's where I baptized it. Remember them poor pond was open?
Yeah.
I was baptized up there, that pool down there. Me and another lady down, she's deceased now. Miss Sally Smith. I guess you heard talk of her.
Would you have a big church service down at the pond?
Oh, yeah, the preacher get down there, some old sisters of mine, you jump in the water. The preacher get down the water and get the preacher and talk about Jesus walking from the Jerusalem down to the Jordan, baptized, and John baptized, and all sorts of stuff as that. And they hold their hand up and say, in obedience to our blessed Lord command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then duck it in the water. They like to drown him. Yeah, he got mad and told Paul, they like to drown me. My preacher like to drown me. he's Methodist now. He didn't treat him right in the Baptist church. He went to the Methodist church. Before my wife died, she told him, go on to the Methodist church. If they don't treat you right, about going there. He went down. He's a Methodist.
Well, John and I have something in common.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little more.
more about the Brush Arbor meetings. Would they last for a long time?
No. We just have a revival, and after then they tear them down.
Well, how long would the revival last?
Oh, sometimes 5 and 6 days nights.
Really? How long in the evenings?
In the evening?
Yeah.
Well, we'd have it at night. We'd start along about 7 o'clock at night, and we'd break up about 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. And we
describe one. Would you sing a lot, or would the preach a lot, or just do a little of both?
What? Did the preach do what?
How long would it last? I mean, would there be
singing, or
would there mainly be preaching?
Yeah, they'd sing. They'd have a singing before the service, and they get up and preacher, you get up and preach, and extend the privilege of the church. Then we'd all go home, and the next month we'd build another scaffold. That's what we did on this church, huh? We'll have a revival about once a year, about once a year. We have revival now, this once it got indoors now, but back in those days, we used to be at Arbor, the little lamps and things, the little wooden, twisted corks, and I don't know what it's something that set them down some snuff bottle of oil, and they'd give quite a bit of light. Mm-hmm. We had a good time.
How many people would go?
Oh, we'd have a crowd of folks. A lot of them standing on the outside.
Oh, really? What would you used to sit on?
They have seats in there.
Folding chairs or built benches?
No, they had some homemade benches. They built benches. You had to fill the build benches. Mm-hmm. Or they seat about 4 or 5 people.
And would you have a piano? Have a piano
sitting back over in the corner, somebody playing the piano. And we sometimes have, a little later on up in the deal, they had choirs, you know. Choirs sang. Oh, we'd have a good time. They had a good time in those days. But now they're all indoors now, and it's much different.
Yeah. Which is better? Which did you enjoy more? What we have now or what you used to have?
I like the backyard now. Yeah, the people seem like they had more grace than back in those days they have now. We got a lot of people in church now, they're hateful and mean, they've not got nothing. They haven't had that second birth, that's the one thing. You know, when a fella been born in physically and born out spiritually, he can handle him. But you can't handle folk when they got evil in their heart, again, the preachers and some of the members in the church. We have them up in our church now. No one won't work good. I preached them the other day up there, and I just told them about this, how it was. And I mean it. I didn't take it back. I said, if you're going to be a Christian, walk like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk like a Christian. And we are families of people. Church folks are family people. When you hurt one in the church, you hurt the whole family. That's the way I see it. And so I like to go to church when people look like they're in the spirit. But when they go down and look like everybody's swelled up, I just don't like it at all. Not far as I'm concerned. But now, in these modern days now, it's much different than it was back in the 70 years ago and 80 years ago. It's much different. The people those days, the most women, used to wear them. You remember when women used to wear them long dresses and things?
I don't remember.
You hear them talking about it, yeah. And the preacher get to preaching, they get to walking up across the floor and wringing their hand. And them old sisters had something. They had the grace of God in their heart. That was the struggle. But now you can preach your lung out and folk won't hardly say amen.
No.
That's the truth. They got modernism done rent the churches. That's it. I believe in that. I believe in being intelligent in the church. But I believe if a fellow wants to serve God, he ought to get ugly. Just go and get ugly. Just get at it. That's all. That's the way I see it. Don't try to quench your spirit. I don't believe in that. I believe a fellow, if he...
We've all got a little uptight.
Yeah, that's right. When the spirit hits you, I was over in Pineland some time ago, and the old lady, she's on us. This commodity, they call it welfare. Mm-hmm. And she, every time the preacher would get up, she couldn't preach for her. She just take on. So the sisters got out in the mission one day and says, now, listen, Sister Sally, I want you She her shoes were bad, you know. Then if you be quiet when the preacher get the preacher and say, we'll buy you a pair of shoes. All right, she said, okay, I will. Preacher got up down, he got this tension on her Christian spiritual feeling. She got that, she said, shoes or no shoes, thank God. And she shouted all over the church. And so that's what I think that's right. I don't think nobody ought to screech spirit. Don't no screech spirit. I mean, he said screech, not the spirit. Yet the spirit of fear, it's lead you. And the Bible's your guide. That's it. That's what that is.
You know, with the church being a family, did you take care of the members as they got, if they had needs and that sort of
Well, thing? We have a penny collection. I would call it a penny collection. We raise sometimes $16, $17 in that penny collection. And we, when unfortunate folk get sick, and they know we're in a need. Now, we don't want to fool nobody with it when they're in a bad shape and going over on the Gold Hill buying the whiskey and stuff. We don't approve of that at all. But if you it's a destitute condition, need some help, the church gonna give you some. Every month they'll give you so much a month. Now we raised one time $26, which wasn't much. $26 is mighty good for just one person. One lady here, she had 3 or 4 children. She didn't have no job, and she was sick. Of course, she pays now. And we made up that one Sunday $26 or $27 or $28 for her some time ago. And we do that all along. That's a Christian. I'm a Christian dude to do that. He said, Jesus, when he got ready to leave, he said, don't give me no honor. He said, give it to the poor, for the poor ought to be with you. I'm going away. And the poor would always be. I'm not referring now. I'm just thinking about those people over in Africa. That hurts me to see how they're dying out like that, 3,000 to 4,000 a year. That's mighty bad. That's mighty bad. But we can't help it. In a way, we can. If people give them money. Everybody's donating, giving money to those African people. They had a drought over there last year, and it's. That's what they depend on. That's their living on the product, what they raise. And they had a drive and all the butt up, and now there's this little children about 4 and 5 years old just dying like sheep. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Now, when we think what we have over here sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we have other places too, people suffering. They're suffering right here in the United States. Yes, certainly is. Everybody, most of the people like me were living in poverty. You know, I'm not got no lot of money, but I do. God do will help me to get by, but I'm not rich.
No, but we're rich compared to them.
That's right.
We eat every meal. That's right. Well, I
just think about sometime I can sit down at the table and eat a square meal and somebody over yonder suffering. That hurts me to think about it. But if I was like the late old television, if I was able, what can one do? It takes a whole lot of folks there. There are a bunch of folks that help folks in a suffer condition. That's right. And so I believe that I'd help anybody. I don't care white, black, anybody. If anybody in a bad condition, if I got something, I'm gonna help them. I don't care who don't like it. I'm gonna help them if they approve of it. That's right. I'll do that. If I'm able to help them in a way, see them in a destitute condition and need something, if I got it, they can have it. Me and my wife, I did that right here. We've helped people. And I believe that's right to do it.
Could you tell me some of the really fine people who were part of this membership down here?
Fine people.
Who you remember as being big workers in this church?
Way back yonder. Well, P. O'Neill, I talked about that. Polly O'Neill, Woodson Johnson, Will Kennedy, Aunt Cassie. You know, you heard him talk about Aunt Cassie. Aunt Kelly Jackson down here. No, Professor Jackson married her. I married them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I married them down there. And she passed, so he married another lady. Professor Jackson used to be our pianist at that long time.
Do you have a regular choir that meets?
Yeah, choir. We have three choirs. We have a baby choir, and we have a girl choir, a middle-aged choir, then we have a senior choir. We have three choirs in our church.
I've heard that they go and sing in other towns and all, too, I think, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Do they go and sing in other towns?
Yeah. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
I sing too.
Oh, okay.
He got mad because I wouldn't give him a robe up here in the Baptist church, but it's a message church.
Better check this tape.
Yeah. I like the church. The church is all right, and the fellas go that right and with the right spirit. Mm-hmm.